Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi, thanks for joining us. This is Sharon Hoskins. Janie and I are taking a close look at the Corinthian church to learn from the encouragement and correction Paul gave to them. In our conversation today, we are examining the comprehension of the cross of Christ. Using their own wisdom, they were causing confusion and division. Paul shares that the cross is the power of God and assures us that in our own comprehension, the cross sounds foolish. So join in the conversation as we discover the similarities between our own understanding and the Corinthians' comprehension. Well, Janie, I'd like to start us off this week in 1 Corinthians 1:17. And Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Yes. Now, Sharon, that sounds really foolish to an unbeliever. Just that verse. People that are perishing, but to people that are being saved, it is the power of God. That causes me to trigger a verse that in most people's Bible would be on the next page. So I don't know if we need to flip the Bible, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. We'll jump ahead because we need to understand why the cross is so foolish.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that makes sense.
So why don't you read 14 and 15?
"But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who can know the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ."
Now, isn't it neat how the question presented or the statement presented in the first chapter is answered in the second chapter?
Yes.
So why is it foolishness? Because the natural man cannot understand the cross. Can you imagine if the nation decided to set up a recovery program for the nation to return to our former greatness, that they would then include the cross? Now stop and think about right now. Think about 6 o'clock news and the people are, we're going to make America great again.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
For America to be great again, she needs to have a plan of recovery that put her where she was as a nation to begin with. That's when the pilgrims started out to find a place where they could worship in freedom the true God. And they understood that the tool of recovery was the cross. Because, Sharon, before the foundations of the world, when God Almighty knew that there was going to be a rebellion because of the fall, the Lord instigated a recovery program, and the recovery program was called the cross. And then he activated that when, in time, he decided that he wanted to send his Son, God in the flesh, to activate what he had determined before the foundations of the world. So he knew the scene in the garden, but he already had that covered. And the recovery was the cross and the resurrection. Now, the point of departure, point of return.
Right.
If we would go back and reestablish what the Lord reestablished as the means of recovery for any problem, the means of reconciliation for any problem, the means of restoration for any problem, the means of division for any problem, it all goes back to the cross.
Okay.
And yet that's a nasty term unless you want some very beautiful cosmetic jewelry.
Oh, right.
All right.
Right.
And many Christians abhor, I hate to use that word, the cross because it is so painfully nasty and gory and bloody that just curls them to have to think about it. Others, when they're presented with a way of cross, they don't want it because it's just too difficult, Sharon. It's impossible to live. and it causes sacrifice, and it may even allow for persecution. And my word, we've got it so good, why would we want to go there?
I see.
Do you see the wisdom of the natural man?
Right.
Or even the carnal Christian's thinking? And Sharon, to be quite honest, it can be provoking fear in any of us. When I read about how all of the disciples gave their life, only one out of the 12 had a natural dying. The rest of them were all martyred in some form or fashion.
Because of the cross that they followed.
Yeah. And stop and look at some of the nations at the world right now, Sharon, that have none of the luxuries and even many lacking in the necessities of life. But their countries are coming alive because they have not a lot of externals to gunk up their thinking. And so when they hear of Jesus Christ and they get a Bible, they are absorbed in the truth of the Scriptures. And they don't have all the hang-ups about us trying to find an easier life. They want Jesus Christ at any cost. And then you go back and you look at history when Jesus walked here on earth and the Roman government was in power, which was a lot more vindictive than what we are even looking at today. They knew that when they accepted Jesus Christ and left their former state, that their lives would be in jeopardy. And many of them were used as torches for lighting for the gladiator fights. Okay?
Yeah.
And Christians were a mockery, and they were looked down upon. Many of them had no formal educations. In fact, most of them didn't. And they were considered ignorant, and their faith was foolish. But the Lord said, no, your wisdom is foolishness. So can you see the difference in how someone totally sold out with the focus of Jesus Christ, knowing the calling for fellowship unto a person?
Yeah, well, Paul says, not with wisdom of words.
Excellent.
That the cross of Christ should be made of no effect or of no power. So there is power in the cross. And when we talk about there being power in the cross, people think we're foolish because that makes no sense to them at all.
And there's life only via the cross. And I think to have power, you need to have life.
Yeah.
And yet for the person who believes that they've just been given 60, 70, 80 years here and there's no future.
Right.
Then the cross is just a waste of time. You've got to think about how you can have power, how you can amass wealth, how you can have control over people. And that's what we're seeing is the struggle in our nation right now. There are some that believe that the lay person in life, the ordinary working person, really can't think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so there's an elite class of people that need to think for us.
Uh-huh.
All right? But
right.
That's natural wisdom, and it's expressed in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. Now, if we're using Scripture with Scripture to give us balance, if we go over to Proverbs, I believe it's 2, Sharon. No, it's 1. It's Proverbs 1. And we're using the Word of God as our final authority, and we have had it proven to us that there is sufficiency in the Scriptures because the Lord says they are life to us. Then in Proverbs 1, it just says the Proverbs have been given by Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and here's what the Proverbs provide. It provides wisdom and instructions to be able to perceive words with understanding. All right?
Okay.
Understanding the difference between man's words and the written word. You're able to receive instruction of wisdom for justice, judgment, and equity. You're able to give prudence to the simple and the young man to know knowledge and discretion. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel, and you'll be able to understand the Proverbs, the words of the wise and their riddles. For the purpose of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we come with what we believe the Lord of creation has provided for us, the man who does not want wisdom and instruction according to God, who does not want instruction and prudence, then they will reject anything we have to say. And it will create division as we have seen.
Right.
And then we need to know how to walk in that divisive society. So can you see how the first chapter of Corinthians almost gives you the whole of what we need to be able to not only survive, but flourish in the day of adversity?
Right, right. And that's what I'm seeing, is that there's a lot of things that are going on in this church that they don't even realize is there. It's really kind of deep-rooted. It's under the surface. Those things, those struggles, are all because of a crisis that is underlining. And that's what we're seeing today, is this crisis in our lives. But it's all this, all these little things that are under the surface that we don't even realize are there. The divisions. I mean, we've seen the different churches all over town, and we've got this belief and that belief, but we really haven't taken into account how divided we really are as believers. And the only thing that we should be divided against is the flesh, the mm-hmm. ways of flesh, the ways of man, natural man. You know, the Word of God is a divider of the bone and marrow. That's our flesh and spirit, you know, dividing against each other. And that's the only division that we should really be seeing. But we're seeing divisions amongst believers, and we're seeing divisions being caused by the wisdom of man and the belief system of man against what God has given us in the scriptures.
Well, and you have brought it down to one word. It has brought confusion that man cannot find a solution for.
Well, man can't help man, can they?
No. And flesh can't deliver flesh.
Right.
What's born of flesh is flesh, and what's born of the Spirit is spirit. So we know that many people will reject what we have to say, and they will call it foolishness. They will call a faith a weakness. Mm-hmm. And so we have to let those opinions lay. In the interim time, we need to do what Solomon has counseled us in, knowing the book of Proverbs. It's a great book to study for seeing the opposites and the mm-hmm. comparatives. It's a great book to be into, especially in this day and age. And then to recognize that God said that He is not the author of confusion. So when I listen to much of what's on the news, and I usually need to calm myself before I turn it
on. And then calm yourself after
And then turn it off, right. I realize that man is even showing in what they're trying to do as a result of gathering data, but it's not answering the dilemma.
Right.
And now, over the last few months, data has changed.
Yeah.
They're now saying the data they had a few months ago is no longer correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to judge or to decipher, because I don't have all the facts.
Right.
But I do know that if we are going to see a nation return to where they have departed, not back to the old normal, but to where they have really truly departed, then God Almighty is going to have to provide us with the solutions.
Right. And that's basically what Paul is telling the Corinthians here. Is that Christ isn't divided. The cross of Christ is the power. It is the answer. The wisdom of God is the answer that we need. And when we look for answers anywhere else, we're not going to find them. So,
and Sharon, let me interrupt you here and add a point. We realize that if there had not been a resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, then the cross would have not have meant a whole lot, because we would not have a living Savior that is able to control the events and affairs of all of eternity.
Right.
So we need to give balance, that when we talk about the cross, we're not just being so single focused like a beam of light, that we don't recognize that there had to be a resurrection. And then for that resurrection to bring the fruit, the Lord needed to go back home, as He said, and prepare a place for us, and He will come again and bring us unto Himself, that we may forever be with Him. That's John 14. And then He also said, and if you want that game plan, then I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need to broaden fruit of the cross.
The cross is more than just
a hanging on the tree.
A hanging on the tree.
Absolutely.
The word that we're saying, it's more than just our salvation. It goes beyond that.
Way, way, way beyond that. Yes. And so let me just give you a couple of pointers that maybe somebody will want to jot down or we will need to engraft in our own heart. But some of the tenets that the cross provides is, first of all, if we look to the cross and its fruit and its total workings, then we take our eyes off of man for anything. We can appreciate man as a species. We can be concerned about all people's destiny, all people's destination. And there is a difference between destiny and your destination. So that would be what we would call the evangelistic side of life, to where we go out to seek and save those that are lost. And we realize we cannot do anything in and of ourselves, but we can be a witness unto him who has done all in all, and that's Jesus Christ. Then we can focus on the person. And if I'm not really looking unto the cross, there's so many diversities of good things, the second best, that can take my time and attention and my focus, that I won't be focusing on the person of Christ. And that is where the God the Father said he's appointed and given all things unto the Son. So if there's a problem, trials, affliction, needing to have growth, needing to have repentance, needing to know how to forgive when the injustices seem unforgivable, it's all found in the person of Jesus Christ. And what he has said is the solution to any and all issues of life. Now, I want to say something here. Some people are going to say, so you're going to say the Bible's going to tell me that what kind of car I'm going to buy?
Okay.
No, no, he's not going to tell you, you know, that you can buy that Mercedes or you can't buy it. But he's going to give us wisdom on what type of car, well, I'll just use as an example, will be the greatest for your needs. If I have four children, I'm probably not going to buy a little two-seated convertible. So, I mean, he gives you wisdom. He lets you look at your finances and what can you afford? Are you going to buy something that's going to put you into debt and vulnerability if you lose your job? Or will you buy something that maybe doesn't have all the bells and whistles but meets your needs? Because God says, I will supply all your needs according to the riches of grace in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I will supply all your extravagant desires.
Right.
So, again, the scripture gives you the framework of wisdom and good judgment to make decisions. But you still have the freedom on if you want to buy, I don't need to use the model names, but if you want to buy one type of car versus another according to your needs.
And not just that, it's also the wisdom to go to the right dealership, to go to the right location to buy the right car.
And that on the right timing.
On the right timing, because, I mean, we never know how a car is going to drive until we own it. I mean, we can take it for a test drive, but over time, will that car break down? Will that car be more of a problem than it is a
help? Had it been in a flood or a wreck that we don't know about and it's been repaired, but it still has damage.
Right. So, well, it's wisdom beyond what we can see.
That's good point.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
And that's why we walk by faith, isn't it? Because we're trusting the one who can see it all.
Right.
All right. And then another point on one of the fields that you know I have a special affection for, and that is the problem of just illness, whether it's affliction, whether it's disease or whatever it may be. And even though the Lord doesn't give you the remedy for, the Lord didn't give you the remedy for your cancer. You had to make certain choices and you did have some struggles there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord had given you some principles that I see you invoking in your life now. And that is, you don't fret and worry like you used to. And you do have a joyful heart. And a joyful heart is like good medicine. All right. And I see you having a lot deeper trust and dependence and waiting on the Lord. And waiting on the Lord quiets the nervous system. It lets you relax at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of Rx prescriptions in the Word of God for healing and staying healthy.
Right.
Now, if the Lord has in his wisdom a reason why he wants us to come on home to him in his appointed time, then it doesn't really matter if I go out with corona or if I choke on a chicken bone.
Right.
If it is my day to see the Lord face to face, then His way of taking me home is His choosing how He wants to. And that allows us to relax more without fear of the unknown.
Right. His ways are not our ways.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you said Say that again.
His ways are not our ways.
Okay, let me. That is Isaiah 55, Sharon.
Okay.
But there's a neat thing there, a principle there that I have been guilty of not seeing the light here.
Okay.
Okay, so we all know, this is Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your ways. Okay, so that's, okay, Lord, I'll never understand. You're doing all of these mysteries, and I just have to trust you, but how do I justify this double murder in my family?
Okay.
All right, or how do I, well, you just think of the worst thing you can think of and apply that scripture.
Right.
Okay, now, let's go back before what's said before. You know, we've talked about the principle of checking the contents, what's before
and what's after.
So I'm taking the assumption, I'll never know your ways, Lord. But here's what he says before that. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. For he, God Almighty, will have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. It doesn't say that I cannot know deeper depths of what the Lord has planned. Now, will I know all of God? Well, that remains a mystery. I don't know what eternity is going to bring.
I don't think that our pea little brains could comprehend all of God's thoughts.
We couldn't.
But he can give us his thoughts. Otherwise, it wouldn't say, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus.
And what did you read to us earlier? It was the last verse in 1 Corinthians. I'm flipping through my Bible a lot here today, which is
that
good.
That the natural man cannot receive the things of God.
Yes.
And it was 1 Corinthians 2:16.
Yes, 2. Okay.
For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, so that's not a paradox. That is a meshing together that as we seek the Lord and return unto him, that he will give us the principles of his mind that he wants for us right here and now. I don't need to know what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. I don't need to know what's going to happen in all of eternity. That will be made known when I need that.
Right.
Or when we need that. But for now, we shouldn't limit the capacity that the Lord wants to share with us here now with those pea brains that you said we had.
Right.
Because by the Spirit, we can know things that we are shocked at even knowing when we wait on the Spirit. When I study the Scriptures and I'm quiet and I'm waiting, all of a sudden a thought comes that can be confirmed with other scriptures that I've read and I thought I didn't understand, but line upon line, precept of precept, things open up at a deeper level. And so I don't think we need to get discouraged on being able to know deeper things for the perplexing times that we live in, because that will give us the peace that passes understanding.
Well, I just think it's wonderful to see how God has instructed Paul to give them a lineup, leading them right to the cross, which gives them the answers, letting them know that any kind of wisdom that you can come up with, that we could sit around the round table and brainstorm for hours, days, weeks, months, years, and never come to the wisdom of God without asking. In James chapter 1, he says to ask for wisdom, and he would give it liberally.
Yes. Yeah. So I think right now we can claim today, Sharon, that wisdom can be ours from Jesus Christ by faith, not doubting, and we can rely on him to give us all we need to know that we might be, as it says in 1 Peter, brought into the divine precious promises for our maturity until we see him face to face.
And I'll say amen to that, and that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.